Okay, man, we'll say a word of prayer and then we'll jump right in this training school lesson on tonight. We'll pray first. Father Yah, we just always start out acknowledging you. We just appreciate your presence and just thank you for being in the midst of us. We always acknowledge the Son who is our Redeemer, our Lord. And we bless you for him, and we appreciate his obedience to you. And we acknowledge him as your Son. And Father, we thank you for your Spirit that leads and guides us in all truth. And right now, we seek wisdom and understanding. And we decree that everything that you reveal to us, we will put it into action. In the name of Yehoshua, we do pray. Amen. This lesson is going to be, I think it's going to be pretty interesting. And I'm going to just call it, or title it, Call No Man Father. And then we'll get an understanding of the subject matter. Again, the title is Call No Man Father. First of all, we'll start out in Jeremiah 23, and we'll look at verse 1. Jeremiah 23, verse 1 says, woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture. Now, when we look at the word pastors, it says to tend a flock, pastor it. And as we continue to look at the definition down toward the bottom, it says shepherd. And the reason why I wanted to point out shepherd is because we're going to see that word later on in these in one of the verses. Okay. Woe unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith Yah. Therefore, thus saith the Lord Yah of Israel against the pastors. Same thing, tend the flock, to tend the flock shepherd. That feed my sheep, ye have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doings, saith Yah. And I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries, whither I have driven them. Let us know the reason why we are scattered is not because of man overpowering our nation, but it was Yah that is the Yah shows that he is the source behind our scattering. You can also see that in the book of Deuteronomy. I believe it's around Deuteronomy 30, and it even more so, which is sobering. He has Moses to teach our nation a song, and in this song that Moses is teaching our nation, he's telling us what we gonna do. And it's a fascinating read to be told what you gonna do and then you go over there and do it anyhow. You know, and I was like, man, we some kind of folks, boy, I tell you. And Yah was like, I'm gonna send you over here to this land flowing with milk and honey. He talked about all the wonderful things that he would do for us. And he was like, all I need out of you is just to obey my commandments, my law, statutes, and judgment. That's all I ask you to do. And then he turns around and tells us, he's like, hey, Moses, teach him this song. And in the song, it's talking about all the things that's going to happen to us. So when you get a chance, just kind of check it out. I'm going to take a peek over there just to make sure it is Deuteronomy chapter 2. I know 30... I scan 30. Um, Yeah, he starts out around 30, and then 32 is the song. Yeah, 32 is the song. And 31, chapter 31, Moses is saying some things. He's reminding us of our commandments. he's making a end of the commandments. You know, he's going over some things because he's getting ready to die. And in verse 30, that's what I wanted to get to. Deuteronomy 31 in verse 30 says, "And Moses spake in the ears of all the congregation of Israel the words of this song until they were ended." And chapter 32 is a song, man. It is like God mighty, you know. And he's talking about the goodness of Yah, and then said, "Okay, verse 5, and then I'm gonna go back to Jeremiah, which coincide with the sheep that scatter." So, Deuteronomy 32, verse 5 to the left of the screen said, "They have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spot of his children. They are a perverse and crooked generation." And man, he just goes down the list telling us about ourselves. Like, I'm going to let you go over there. And but I chose you. You know, it's just a lot of good stuff in there. And so chapter 30 through 32 is just a good read in order to help with the understanding of why our nation is scattered, Jeremiah 23. But, well, Yah is so faithful and loving, you know, toward our nation that he says in verse 2 again, Jeremiah 23, verse 2 says, "Therefore thus said the Lord Yah of Israel against the pastors that feed my flock, ye have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doings, saith Yah. And I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries, where I have driven them, and will bring them again to their folds. And they shall be fruitful and increase. And I will set up shepherds." That shepherd is the same meaning. See that? Ra'ah. And you see pastors, ra'ah, it's the same meaning. So shepherds and pastors, okay, it's the same meaning, okay? And so verse 4 says, "And I will set up shepherds over them, which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed. Neither shall they be lacking, saith Yah." Okay? And so as we look at these different things and understand, you know, some things about pastor and shepherd, I want to move over now to Matthew 23 in order to deal with the subject matter called No Man Father. Okay. And so and I'm gonna look at verse 9 through 11, and then we're gonna move back up to verse 1. Okay. So when we look at verse 9, the title of the subject matter again, "Call No Man Father." Verse 9 said, "And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven." And then he goes on and said, "Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant." Now, in order to understand this, we have to go back up to verse 1. Because what you have is people who will read verse 9 and 10, and they'll say, "Well, see, you're not supposed to call no man father. You're not supposed to call no man master." But we need to understand scripturally what's being said here And the only way to do it is to go back up to verse 1. Okay? Verse 1 says, "Then spake Yehoshua to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat." What was Moses' seat? Okay? And we'll just say it for when you look at the seat, it says a bench. So when we think about Moses' seat, what did Moses do? He would sit and judge between the people, and he by the advice of the leading of Yah through his father-in-law. His father-in-law was like, okay, this is not good, because Moses was judging the people from morning to evening. He said, it's not good. You're going to wear yourself out and the people too. He said, sit up you able men to help you, to help you rule or to make judgments of certain matters and things. And the weightier matters can come to you. And the lesser matters, let them deal with. And so when you see the scribes and the Pharisees, Christ is saying to them, you sit in Moses' seat. So they're the leaders of our nation who make judgments about issues and teach the law and different things like this. And so that's what he starts out dealing with them about. Their position. Verse 2, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore, whosoever they bid you observe, they teach you things, observe. Bid you observe. Now, when we look at the word observe, just to make sure we're on the same page with that. I don't know. Let me see. I'll drop down here and see if that definition will pop down a little bit lower. For some reason, this is not allowing me to look at all the definition. So I see from what I see, bid you to, in the middle of the screen, it says to fulfill a command. That's a good one in order to kind of understand what's going on with the subject matter. Since I can't really pull that definition down, I can't scroll down the page because I'm at the top already. I can do it, but we got a general idea what it means from that particular definition that I just gave, okay? All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, in reference to the commandments, okay? Bid you observe the commandments, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works. So he deals with, and I probably have the same problem. Again, I might be able to get it. Yeah, works. When you look at the word works, it says deeds, act, labor. Okay, labor. And so he says, again, verse 3, all therefore whatsoever they bid you to, bid you observe the commandments, the laws, statutes, and judgment. He said that observe and do. Okay. But do not ye after their deeds. What are their deeds? For they say and do not. They teach the laws, statutes, and judgment, but they don't obey them. And the mere fact, as we've discussed before, they turn around and kill the innocent man, Christ, which was against the law. And so that is a confirmation that they knew the law, but they didn't work the deeds of the law. So we got to understand the mentality of these Pharisees and Sadducees. So when we get down to verse 9, we understand why Christ is saying this. Now, verse 4 says, "For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders. But they themselves would not move them with one of their fingers." They put burdens on our nation, but yet they don't move a finger to move them. Would not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. Be seen of men. They make broad their philanthropies and enlarge the borders of their garments and love the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogue. And we preachers like that? We think we so important. We want to sit in the best seat. You know, that's why a lot of time when I be invited, you know, from visiting the church or whatever, and they invite me up in the pulpit, you know, my mindset is, look, I don't want to sit up here where everybody can see my socks, you know. That's just a sarcastic way of me, you know, me saying I don't want to be seen. I don't want to be seen. Well, these leaders of our nation, they love that kind of stuff. Preachers have, again, that mindset. We love to be seen. We love to be recognized. That's why if you ever had some type of event, some type of funeral or whatever, all the preachers feel like they got to have something to say and different things like that. We love to be seen. And that's one thing I try to shun away from. I don't, I very seldom have a desire to say something unless it's by the leading of the Spirit of Yah. Other than that, if I'm asked that, I pretty much tell them, no, I'm good. Okay, verse 6 again, and love the uppermost room at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogue. You know, you better not sit there preaching in the back at the when you're having a dinner. You know, you want to be right there by the stage or whatever. And greetings in the markets, and to be called of men, here we go, Rabbi. But be not ye called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. So he says, be not called master or rabbi. Okay. And when we look at rabbi in verse 8, it says my master. That's why he says master. You have one master. All right. Then he says, verse 8 again, but be not ye called rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ. And all ye are brethren. And call no man is italicized. It says, call no man your father upon the earth. For one is your father, which is in heaven. So I'm going to throw a nugget out there. So with my girls, because my girls call me father, is this what Christ is referring to? Let's let the scripture teach us now. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. Okay. And then I'll just read verse 11 and then we'll deal with this. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. Okay. Now, in order to understand this, as we've dealt with verse 1 through 1 through 11. Then I read verse 8 again. It says, but be not ye called rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father, which is in heaven. Now, in order to understand this, we have to reference the verses above. And I'll just pull out one verse just in order to remind us of some things. Verse 4, it says, for they, who? Scribes and Pharisees, the leaders. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves would not move them with one of their fingers. Okay, verse 5, I add that one. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their philanthropy, phylacteries, and enlarge the borders of their garments. And again, keep going again. And love the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogue. So when we look at verse 8 and 9, why would he say, call no man rabbi, call no man master, and call no man father? Because it's letting us know that the leaders of our nation lack those talents because they wanted to be seen. They wanted to feel important. So him saying, call no man rabbi, master, or father, is in reference to the mindset of the leaders of our nation, and not something that we shouldn't do, self-interest, as far as my girls calling me father. So Christ is not saying to my girls, don't call your dad father. He's talking about the mentality of the rabbi. So the rabbi, master, and father of Matthew 23 were used by hypocrites who lorded over others solely because of religious position and power. They used the word rabbi, master, and father as a religious power move on our nation. No, it's not. We'll deal with that a little bit later on. But that's a good question. And I mean, that's a good question to bring up, because we're going to address that also. Okay, so when he's saying it, and remember this, son, you take on the, in order to understand the verse, you keep in mind what we just discussed in the mindset of the leader. So, you know, I just called you son, but if my reason for calling you son was to lord over you and to make me feel important, then that's when it's not proper for you to turn around and acknowledge me and acknowledge yourself as a son.
Okay.
Now, and so as we look at this, I deal with the word again, the rabbi, master, and father of Matthew 23 were used by hypocrites, and that's the important part. What's our motive behind our talents? Okay, what's the motive behind our talents? All right. Used by hypocrites who lorded over others solely because of religious position and power. If I even use the word pastor, that's why I went to Jeremiah 23. If I use the Tyler as your pastor in order to lord over you and to use it as a method a method of power, then I'm a hypocrite. It's not good to call me pastor.
Okay,
true. All those different type of titles, when you see people start making statements like that, and there is always a motive associated with that, and that motive that's associated with that is power. I'm not an apostle. I'm a chief apostle. I'm better than everybody else. And then you go read the scriptures, and Paul talks about the chief apostles. It's a criticism. It's the same thing that Christ is doing. Oh, these chiefest apostles, these people who add a little extra to their title because it's all about religious power. You know, I mean, the first time I heard, glad Elder brought it up. First time I heard somebody talking about international bishop and international missionary, and they invited me to go preach. I passed the church five times before I finally figured out what it was. All these international folks and all that, and so I'm like, well, I guess, you know, people coming from all over the world or whatever, and they want me to come over here and preach. Sure, there was a little bit of church that they had made, it turned into a church. It was a house. They had turned into a church, and when you walked in there, it looked like you was walking sideways because the little house was leaning. And then when you got there, when I got there and sit down, it wasn't number about six people there, and every last one of them had a title: international missionary, you know, international prophetess, international bishop. And I'm sitting there saying, boy, there's some crazy stuff here. And you know, I stood up and preached and got it told, though. But that's the mindset, and that's what Christ is referring to. So it's not telling my girls not to call me father. It's not telling me that I can't call elder son, as in spiritual. Okay, and we're going to confirm these things as we continue to go through the scriptures now. So I say this now. Christ condemned these titles that our nation's leader greatly cherished because it fostered their hypocrisy and religious pride. That's why he condemned it. Now, how do we confirm that Christ is not saying this? How do we confirm that Christ is not saying, call no man, telling my girls, don't call your dad father. And he's telling me, don't call elder son, which implies I'm his father spiritually. How do we prove this? Let's let the scriptures now confirm these things. The scripture clearly identifies men as fathers. The scriptures does. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And the scripture is called our fathers. Okay? Christ is not contradicting the scripture. He contradicting the attitude of men that's prideful and hypocritical. We can go look at one scripture after another where the scripture talking about your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So the Bible is not telling us in Matthew 23, call no man father. All right. Paul called Timothy his beloved son. Okay, let me do this precept before I deal with Timothy. Let me see which one I want to. Yeah. I'm going to Deuteronomy since I've been mentioning it so much. Yep. Deuteronomy 30 and 20. I just wanted to go there since I mentioned Deuteronomy in the lesson. I'm just going to read verse 20. And I'll say this, say it again. The scriptures clearly identifies men as fathers. Okay. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were called fathers. When you look at Deuteronomy 30, verse 20 to the left of the screen, that thou mayest love Yah thy God, and that thou mayest observe his voice, obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life, and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which Yah swore unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. These are our fathers. Okay? So the Bible is showing us that when Christ says this in Matthew 23, he's not contradicting the law. Deuteronomy 20 is the law. So Christ is not contradicting the law. Now I get out of that since I showed you, and we'll look at it of what I said before I went back and dealt with that. Paul called Timothy his beloved son, as in spiritual. 1 Corinthians 4. We're just going to look at the verse 17. Verse 17 said, for this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord Christ, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. I can show you other scriptures where Paul called Timothy his son. Okay, and so when you look at verse 17, Timothy is not his biological son. So Paul is letting you know that Timothy is his spiritual son, who was begotten through the gospel. Okay. Even the servant, now we're moving on, even the servant called Abraham master, Lord. Scripture said, call no man master. Why was Abraham called master? Let's look at it. Genesis 18. No, Genesis 24. Genesis 24, we'll look at verse 9. It says, and the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master. Okay. When we look at the master, master, it means to rule, sovereign, Lord. You see it? Lord, master, owner. So Abraham was a master. Scripture also tells us, obey them that have rule over you. Talks about the masters. All right. Sarah called Abraham. We'll look at this now. Genesis 18. We'll just deal with I'll just start at verse 9. Genesis 18, verse 9. It says, and they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. Now, just to show you who this is, it says, verse 1, and Yah appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre. And he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him near. Because he explained what by him, stood by him mean in the next few words. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. So one of these men, according to verse 1, is clearly Yah. So when people start saying no man has seen Yah at any time, the scripture points out a lot of times that members of our nation saw Yah. Jacob wrestled with him. Our father Jacob wrestled with him. Okay, so again, we go verse 10. It says, and he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age. And it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Sarah was so old, she couldn't have kids no more. Verse 12, therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, Am I after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? She was calling her husband Lord. What did she mean when she said Lord? Master. So that could have easily been translated in verse 12. Read it again. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my master being old also? So we're looking at scriptures to confirm in the law, Genesis, this is the law, in the law that there was not an issue with calling men father, master, and these different titles that members of our nation use pridefully. So what we ought to understand is anytime we request those titles or any title out of pride, we are a hypocrite, and that's what Christ is preaching against. This is a short one on today. In closing, when we read the scriptures, we must take into consideration all of the precepts on the subject matter instead of coming to a conclusion based upon a verse. Every time I read the scripture, I take all the scriptures that I understand in that subject matter in order to have a clear understanding. And so you get people that will go to Matthew 23 and say, you ain't supposed to call no man father. Huh? The Bible says you ain't supposed to call no man father. You better look at all that Bible when you deal with that subject matter. Because the Bible does say it, but what does it truly mean when the Bible says it? And so in order to understand that, we have to take into consideration all of the scripture, the law, the prophet, the Psalms, you know, the gospel. We got to take all that and clump it together in order to understand what's going on in a subject matter. So remember that when you read a verse or something like that, or when you hear someone make a statement like that, call no man master. There's only one master, Christ. Call no man father, for you only have one father in heaven. We now know that Christ is condemning religious pride. No. So now we answer the question with, no, I don't supposed to call someone rabbi if I'm calling that person rabbi based upon their prideful hypocrisy. No, I'm not supposed to call someone father or call someone master if they operate from a perspective of hypocritical pride. Stay within the contextual meaning of the issue and consider the rest of the scriptures and what it say about the subject. And we'll always come out understanding it precept upon precept, line upon line. And we're able to deal with it like the scriptures intended for us to deal with it. Instead of having a conclusion based on the imaginations of men. All right. Y'all got that? That's done. I'm done. That's all I was gonna do, and so I wanted to share that with you so that you know we'll walk in the wisdom. We'll walk in the wisdom of Yah on how to handle these subject matters when they pop up. And remember that one thing: consider all the scriptures on any subject matter. Don't just be stuck on that one scripture. One keep coming to mind, I'm not going to deal with it. You know, the bishop should be a husband of one wife. When I hear that, I consider all the law and the prophets and also in the New Testament in reference to that subject matter in order to see it clearly. Not giving the wine. He's supposed to drink wine. Well, the law shows our nation clearly drunk wine. The New Testament also points out that Christ drank wine to the point where those religious folks was accusing him of being a drunkard. So when it says not giving the wine, is it saying you can't drink it at all or not to be a drunkard? Well, I can answer that when I understand the entire book. Because when it talks about the drunkard, then it lets me know that drunkard is out of control and things like that. So a bishop shouldn't ever be in that position of drinking to the point to where he's a drunkard and out of control. When we consider all the scriptures, it's crystal clear. It's the same that the bishop should be the husband of one wife only? Well, when I consider all the scriptures, my father had multiple wives. So what is it truly saying? Wisdom says, if you got one, that he's talking to you. You good. If you're fulfilling the law according to your brother's duty, the brother's duty, you may already have one, but since your brother died not having any children, what you gonna do, brother? The law say you have to marry his wife. First child is his. Keep his name in the land. Does that only imply if he's a single man or is a brother's duty? Whether he's a single man or not. Well, it doesn't contradict the law because, as I said earlier, our fathers clearly had multiple wives. And it wasn't considered adultery. You got to consider everything when you get in this book. One can also implies one accord, unification. That's why it goes on to say, if you can't rule your own house, how can you rule the house of Yah? So we have to be wise enough to know what the book says throughout, says from Genesis to Revelation, before we conclude on one way of thinking. We got to be open to the precepts. And a lot of precepts to give us an understanding of what it truly means. All right? So I just wanted to share that with you. And I'm done. Anybody got any questions or comments? Okay, no questions, comments. I'll go ahead and close then. Father Yah, we bless your name on today, and we just honor you for all that you revealed to us. We thank you for teaching us how to see the truth using precept upon precept, line upon line. And we bless you for just giving us that gift and ability to do so by the leading of your spirit. And we thank you for all things. In the name of Yahushua, we do pray. Amen.